Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Emily Winicky and I'm the Community Engagement Coordinator here at Syracuse University. I would like to begin, as we do with all Syracuse University events, by acknowledging with respect the Onondaga Nation, firekeepers of the Haudenosaunee, the indigenous people on whose ancestral lands Syracuse University now stands. I want to note that this is the last TMR of the 2018-19 season, and we will be resuming in September. I hope you have enjoyed this season of local leaders and experts, and I want to thank you for your engagement and participation. Please watch your emails for future schedules. I'm joined today by Dee Cleese from Focus Greater Syracuse. This morning's program is a collaboration with Focus as a part of our continued partnership. Dee, would you like to say a few words?
I'd just like to thank Syracuse University and WCNY for pitching in on this. This is yet another example of cooperation in our community and the effort to bring together like-minded people and like-minded topics to find out what's going on. Focus looks forward to continuing with our programming as it exists, and we will be emailing you all about our events in the future.
All right, I am now honored to introduce this morning's speaker, Mitch Gelman. A transformative C-level leader, digital media specialist, and Pulitzer Prize recipient, Mitch has implemented media and emerging technology strategies for Fortune 500 companies, including CNN and ESPN. He has helped lead international digital operations for news, corporate, cultural and entertainment organizations, deploying cutting-edge media products to drive revenue, increase audience, and extend brand awareness. His previous positions include reporter for New York Newsday, where he helped the paper earn a Pulitzer Prize for spot news reporting, senior vice president and senior executive producer of CNN.com, where he led digital editorial and operations for global news service, vice president for the Gannett Company, where he led the digital product group, chief technology officer of Newseum in Washington, D.C., where he oversaw technology and digital media operations, and principal for Teleport Media, where he consulted for the U.S. State Department, Warner Brothers, and the Knight Foundation on news technology and virtual and augmented reality experiences, including a VR history of the Vietnam War for high schools. He enjoys baseball, hockey, fishing, U.S. history, and Latin American literature. His wife, Melissa, is a veterinarian, and their son, Chris, is 15 years old. Please join me in welcoming Mitch Gelman.
Thank you for the kind introduction, Emily, and Dee, thank you for the invitation to join all of you here this morning. I'm thrilled to be in central New York during such a dynamic period in such a beautiful area. But first, I want you to bear with me. I've got some notes that I typed up and I wanted to handwrite them, but I remembered that I had handwritten my vows during my wedding. And halfway through the vows, I had to turn to my wife, Melissa, the veterinarian, and ask her to decipher them for me. So now I type the notes out. But thank all of you. There are so many of you here who are WCNY members, sustainers, major donors, and we're so grateful for your support and for the time and the talent that you bring not only to WCNY, but to the region. I've lived in a number of different places, as Emily pointed out. I lived in New York City, worked for a startup in Seattle that was bringing ESPN online, then was in Atlanta with CNN, Colorado, where Melissa was going to veterinary school and my son got hooked on fishing and hockey, which is another reason he's thrilled to be relocating here. And then we were in Washington, D.C. when I was at the Newseum working to support, explain, and defend the five freedoms of the First Amendment. But there's something that has been so remarkable and moving about being in central New York over the last 3 months. And it's something that I've never seen anywhere else. It's an incredible pride that the people here take in lifting each other up. That community spirit is infectious and it is unique. I've lived in places where people try to lift themselves up by putting others down. And here, I've been so buoyed and enriched by the genuine compassion and commitment that everybody has for the others in the region. So I am honored to be at WCNY and to now have a chance to participate in that extraordinary culture. We're here at an exciting time in terms of the revitalization of the region. So the commitment and the support that everybody provides is something that WCNY prides itself on being a part of.
WCNY's headquarters stand as a model for other PBS stations nationwide. Together, we made it possible.
As most of you know, we're a unique position within the public media group as a whole. We're a single broadcaster, but we have five channels. WCNY, our main channel, and then we also have Global Connect, a kids channel 24/7, and our Create and our How-To channels. We're also a dual caster. By that, I mean that we are part of the NPR family, as well as the PBS family, and have the classical music station 91.3. One of our hosts, Marie Lam, is here with us today. She does a wonderful job in bringing the best of classical music to all of us, along with her colleagues, Bill Paulson and Diane Jones and Adam Fine, who many of you know and listen to. But there's also an HD2 and an HD3 channel that we'll talk a little bit about later. And one of the services that we provide is the readout service. This is something that's very exciting and special for us at WCNY. Every day, volunteers come into the building across the street and they read books, periodicals, newspapers for the blind. And what we've done is we distributed across the region special receivers for free that they can use to have access to this unique service that we offer. WCNY has been pledge-free now for 12 years on television, and we're trusted for 16 years in a row, the most trusted media and the most trusted media company in the in the country during a time when trust in the media has indeed fluctuated. So we've managed to do that by maintaining our integrity and by serving our audience. Being pledge-free means a couple of things. It means 330 hours of extra programming for you, our viewers. It also means uninterrupted symphonies on the radio. At the same time, because we don't have that constant pledge drive a couple of times a year where we're telling people what we're doing and why it's important. It means that we have to work harder to help people understand the role that public media plays every day in their lives. I was at an event a couple of weeks ago that Center State CEO had put on over at the Tech Garden. And Mayor Ben Walsh and County Executive Ryan McMahon and Center State CEO President Rob Simpson were talking, and they were talking about all the incredibly dynamic and exciting things that are going on in the region. They were talking about Syracuse Surge and the Allen Foundation's work on Salina Street. They were talking about the Genius Awards, the Smart City Initiative, the renovation of Central Tech, and the Arts, Technology, and Literacy Corridor right here on the Near West Side. And toward the end of their discussion, and I don't remember who it was that said it. I don't know if it was the mayor, the county executive, or Rob Simpson, but one of them said, "We're doing all these incredible things here. Who is going to tell our stories?" And I was kind of sitting back in the back of the room and settled into my chair, and I said, "You know, that's not a bad role for WCNY. We want to be the people who tell our stories. And there are so many important stories in this region to tell." Some of the programming that we're going to be rolling out in the course of the next year, I want to share with you today. We did a special documentary last year on the honor flight for World War II veterans going back to DC. And that was something that we really wanted to follow up. So what we're going to do this year with CNY Heroes is we're going to do a profile of a war hero from each of the 19 counties that we represent across the region. And we're going to trace it back to the Revolutionary War up through the current conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq. And then there's Taking Flight. Taking Flight is something that I'm incredibly excited about. It's going to be a 13-part series, and I'm sharing it here, you know, announcing it to you for the first time today. We're going to do a 13-part series on how Central New York is revolutionizing the drone industry. And we're going to trace that from the local man who earned the patent for the gyroscope in Cortland during World War I up through GE, the regional radar innovation that has gone on in the region, and the role that the Griffith and Hancock air bases, as well as the drone corridor, are playing to stimulate that economy and bring business to the region. And then there's Inspiring New York. And this is interstitials, and hopefully we'll convene a roundtable with some of the people who have inspired us to produce this series. This goes to the point that I was talking about earlier that makes this such a special area of the country.
Congratulations, young lady, for being the first scholarship winner at Chick-fil-A Cicero.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Thank you. Oh my God. Honestly, I was not expecting it one bit. I didn't even notice that my family was behind me, so I was just in the moment. I know this is a big accomplishment, so I'm glad that they were there to share the moment with me.
Congratulations, baby.
You know, from day one, she has really exemplified what we look for in a team member. I need more Cassidys around this place.
This scholarship allows me to realize that hard work pays off, and everything you do, if you're passionate about it, you'll be able to succeed.
All across Central New York, there are incredible people doing amazing things. Here at WCNY, we're inspired by these random acts of kindness and goodwill. Please, go to WCNY.org/inspiringnewyork and share your stories. So please, send us your stories. Send us the stories about the people who you want to celebrate, the men, the women, the children who day to day go above and beyond to make our lives better. There's two examples that I'd like to give of stories that I hope we're going to be able to do as part of Inspiring New York in the next couple of months. One is a winery owner who I met at one of the WCNY events. Before that, in his earlier career, he was a plumber. And he spends much of his free time now teaching plumbing at correctional facilities around the region, particularly women's correctional facility, giving the inmates the opportunity to have a skill as they come out and re-enter civilian population. And then there was another one that Emily had mentioned to me about a barber here who every year gives free haircuts to kids at the end of the summer to get them ready to go back to school. Those are the types of stories that we want to tell and that we want to celebrate. We take our role at WCNY as stewards of the community seriously. We know that this means that we need to give back, we need to reach out, and we need to partner up. One way that we give back is through two education programs. The Enterprise America program, middle school students come from around the region to our 10,000 square foot 21st century city. It's like a Hollywood set. They come in and they're walking around and there's a power company and a city hall, a sporting goods store, a cafe, a manufacturing center, and they get experiential learning in how to learn finance, learn economics, and to build a business. It's a great program, and it's very exciting to see the kids come in and learn in this environment. The second program that we have is the Career and Technical Education Program. This is for high school students, where students come to WCNY and spend part of their junior and senior year learning literature, electronic media, digital graphic production, and technology. And in the process, they get up to 21 credits through Onondaga Community College that gives them a head start when they move on and go to college. We also reach out. We reach out with our Indie Lens pop-up series, which we show PBS documentaries around the region, going to our 19 counties. We've recently been in Auburn, Ithaca, Utica, and then the 7th annual Makers Award was held at Seneca Falls a couple of months ago, in which we celebrated 10 women who have been significant in their contributions to the region and to the communities across the region. We also create career path opportunities within WCNY through some partnerships that I'll talk about in a minute. Reaching out is a big part of what we do, and a few weeks ago, we started a campaign called Radio Remix. We wanted to learn what it is that we can contribute to the media community in Central New York. You may know the story. Our HD2 and our HD3 channels, which provide jazz and oldies music right now, our antenna was hit by lightning about a year and a half ago. And we'd finally come up with the money and the funds to put the antenna back up. But when we relaunch these stations, we want to deliver what our listeners want to hear. We want to hear from you what it is that's missing from your media diet every day, every week. And we want to go to all 19 counties to learn from the people in the community what it is that you want to hear. Is it kids programming, community news and information, local finance, music that you can't get on regular radio in the region? So we're going out starting on May 2nd through May and June. The events are at wcny.org/events. There is a survey online at wcny.org, a Radio Remix survey, which you can go and fill out and give us your suggestions for what you would like to see. But we're going to go to all 19 counties. We'll be in Rome, Ithaca, Geneva, Marcy, and Auburn in May. So if you or anybody else wants to join us there, it'll be a good conversation and help us understand what it is that we can do to support the community. We're also working to build partnerships. We're working on career paths with local colleges, journalism, business schools to create opportunities to learn media sales, membership development, marketing, and the types of efforts that sustain a public media organization in the communications universe that we live in today. And we also focus on jobs. We're working to establish opportunities for people, particularly in our community here on the near west side. My predecessor at WCNY, who many of you know, Bob Dano, set the example. Bob brought people together to build the only LEED Platinum broadcast center in the nation, a remarkable facility that, you know, we have the opportunity now to use and to develop. Second, Bob brought the 9 New York PBS stations together to create a joint master control. And I don't know if everybody knows this, but right across the street, at the WCNY building, we deliver 47% of the streams to PBS viewership across the country, and it's growing. And this was part of Bob's vision for what we could do, and he brought the New York PBS stations together in a partnership to do this for the nation. And with the Near West Side Initiative, he established the courtyard and the cafe that we now hope to open when the park is built across the street. So we're waiting for the park to come together with 87 parking spots next to the new Salt Performing Arts Center, and that will bring our courtyard, our big screen, and our cafe into play. And we're looking to work with the community to staff and create job opportunities in that cafe. There'll also be a PBS character walk around the corner, so kids will be able to come from the park, see their favorite characters, and pick up books and other learning materials at a kiosk at the end of the character walk. How do we do this? Well, we do it with the strong support of the people and the businesses in the region. Our revenue comes from two areas. It comes from membership and underwriting. And as you can see from our membership numbers, we have an opportunity, like the region, to grow. Currently, between 2% and 4% of the households in some of our larger counties are members of PBS. I see that as a wonderful opportunity to diversify our programming, to reach out to more people, and to increase the relevance of WCNY in the lives of everybody who works and lives in these counties. Similarly, underwriting is a big part of what we do. So we have been, over the last few months, trying to align our programming with the interests of our potential underwriters and clients. It's been incredibly rewarding to see Syracuse recognized last week alongside Miami, Louisville, San Diego, and Chicago by JP Morgan Chase as part of its Advancing Cities initiative. What an incredible testament to the work that all of you have put in to building this community. I see one of our community advisory board members, Mike Atkins, is here today, and I know how much Mike has invested in creating the opportunities and the infrastructure here that JP Morgan Chase and others are now recognizing, and rightly so, putting Syracuse into the same conversation with San Diego and Miami and Chicago and Louisville. This area of the world is going through a real transformation. We are poised to build on our Rust Belt roots, to be reinvigorated, and to soar to the forefront through innovation and technology, driven by new ideas, new investment, and new energy. Of course, with change comes challenges. Resolving inequities and opportunity, reducing pockets of poverty, discouraging youth violence, providing better education, creating jobs, and finding common ground among people attached to the past and those who are ready to embrace the future. Central to the success of this transformation is the thriving, engaging, high quality, trusted role for public media. Our goal at WCNY is to give Central New York the public media it deserves. Taking Flight, yes, it's a series about the unmanned aerial systems industry. That's true, and we'll have great stories and wonderful history about the growth and the potential future of that industry in this region. But Taking Flight is also a metaphor for the time and the place that we're all right now so fortunate to share.
Everybody wants that hoverboard. And we're not gonna get to that hoverboard unless we keep advancing technology.
The work that we're doing here is going to be used to enable and kind of elevate the drone industry.
Drones can really get down there and see the details.
You go back 2-3 years, drone racing was almost just like an idea.
The advancements in technology over the last few years have been huge.
Drones are a thing of the future, all about efficiency. It's a lot faster to fly a drone over a field than it is to walk 1,250 acres of corn.
We're going to be world leaders here. We're not going to be the only leader, but we're absolutely building capabilities that do not exist anywhere else here right now.
You're doing really good.
Why, thank you.
You're a sponsored pilot now. How does it feel?
Amazing.
You have that being built right here.
So that's the first time we've shown that. It's a small preview of what is coming from WCNY. Unlike corporate media, which of course are mostly publicly traded companies obligated to serve their shareholders, at WCNY, we work for you. We're obliged to serve our regional interests and to continue to be an important, relevant community asset. Thank you for your time this morning and for the chance to grow with this remarkably dynamic and exquisitely beautiful region. Thank you. I saw what y'all did to County Executive McMahon a couple of weeks ago, so go easy on.
Good morning and welcome to Syracuse.
Thank you.
One of your slides, you mentioned household membership ranging between 2-4% in the larger counties. How does that compare to other public broadcasting systems across the country? Is it below average, average, high, or any insight you could give, I'd appreciate.
That's something we're studying right now. These are new data points that we've recently developed. There's a group coming out of Boston, WGBH, that has done some analysis of membership development across the country at different PBS stations. And we've only begun to work with them to try to benchmark what we're doing here in Central New York in other areas. A lot of it has to do with the demographics of those populations, so it's probably not fair to compare apples to oranges between WNET and New York City. And Syracuse, we have a different makeup, but we think we can do better. So in focusing on this data and reaching out to more people, the work comes back to us. We have to make sure that we're being relevant to the lives of those other 96 or 97% of the people. So I think that, as a benchmark, we're not doing badly, but there's an opportunity for us to do a lot better.
Good morning. I think that Bob did a marvelous job at bringing technology to the forefront as far as the broadcasting goes, and it's very impressive. However, I think that the customer service part of your technology is a little weak. What are the plans for that?
Great question, Sarah. We have lots of opportunity as well to grow in terms of our customer service. Currently, our digital platforms are very straightforward and can be enhanced in many ways. So we're going to develop a digital strategy that's going to enable us to create more accessibility for the incredible content that PBS offers through its Passport program for our members, but also to bring the voices and the talents of many of our hosts to all of you in a cross-platform way. Currently, we're not serving our audience in a cross-platform manner. We're producing television, we're producing radio. Haley Dubinoff in marketing communication produces a terrific magazine. And then we have our website and our apps. They're not all consolidated and brought together. So as we move forward, we're going to create digital media platforms, improve the customer service, improve the user experience, take advantage of the content management systems that we can work with from NPR and PBS and some of our own development, do a better job with our streaming capacity, and making it easier to have a conversation on a day-to-day basis with our members and with our audience. So you're going to see a lot more over the next 9 to 12 months in terms of WCNY's cross-platform digital presence that will put the user first and hopefully improve the customer service, Sarah, that you rightly point out needs to be enhanced.
Thank you, and it's been very enlightening. I'm new to the roundtable, but I'm long in the tooth when it comes to WCNY. One of the things, I'm totally on board with the community outreach and the, you know, going forward in ways that integrate all the pieces and parts. But what I have and would urge you to do is to remember that we have a rich heritage of classical music in WCNY-FM, going back more than 50 years, beyond that to WONO and Henry Fogel. And it is a gem that not very many cities of any size, San Francisco does not have a live classical music station anymore. I'm not sure New York City does. So don't lose that, because that is the piece of WCNY. Love PBS, love the programs on television, but I would die without WCNY-FM. Classical music.
91.3 Classic is a treasured resource, and we're not going to touch it. I step back. We are. We're going to create some new programming. Diane Jones has recently brought Feminine Fusion to the station, a weekly show that looks at the influence of women in classical music. We may extend that to look at some of the other classical influences around the world throughout history. But it is an absolute treasure. I listen to it every morning when I wake up and have it on in the evenings when I go to sleep. It is fresh, it is interesting, it is a unique take on all of classical music, and we are not going to change it at all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've called and not gotten the answer for this. How do you see a show you've missed? For instance, a Dalton Abbey show. Most of the shows you miss, you can get on demand. I've tried, and do you need a Roku or a Netflix to be able to see them?
That's one of the areas that we need to do a better job, as Sarah pointed out, in customer service. We have a very robust streaming inventory that members have access to, and we need to do a better job of showing people how to get access to it and how to play it, particularly with so many now cutting the cord and moving to Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, Amazon Fire Stick, and alternative ways of getting information. PBS has some of the resources. we need to do better. We need to work with NPR on providing 91.3 on your smart speakers in a meaningful and consistent way, and continue to evolve with the media landscape as it transitions.
As I'm sure you're aware, the Near West Side is an area of concentrated poverty, and I'm wondering what is currently going on, what your plans say for the next year is in terms of neighborhood engagement.
Thank you. That's a wonderful question, and it's something that's, you know, very close to our hearts at WCNY. We're part of this neighborhood. This is our home. And I've spent a bit of time, not as much as I'd like, but a bit of time over the last couple of months with Dan Query, the Near West Side Initiative, and Gregorio Jimenez, who's the new executive director of the initiative, just back from Oswego, where he finished college and has now come back to the neighborhood to, again, when I talk about people who are committing their time and their effort and their talent to lifting each other up, Gregorio is one of those people who is doing a wonderful, wonderful job. So what we've talked about is first the Salt Space Performance Theater, which had its grand opening a couple of weeks ago. We had cameras and we had folks there documenting that and celebrating the launch. We have a courtyard and a big screen. Mr. Atkins and I have been thinking about ways to make that courtyard and that screen a bigger part of the community, particularly now that it's springtime and the weather's opening up and people are going to be looking for things to do. It's going to really come to life when that park across the street opens up. Dan was telling me the other day that he finally got the state to sell him that little square, a little triangle of grass over at the corner of, I don't know if it's West Street. I know the cars go really fast by there, but they got that square of grass, so now they can proceed with the construction of the Near West Side Park in that vacant lot that's across the street from WCNY. It's beautiful. I showed you the photograph of the plans. Once that park comes up toward the end of this year, that will bring our courtyard and cafe into play. It's going to have 87 parking spots, and we're working with Gregorio right now to set up a joint project in which that cafe will be staffed, managed, run by members of the community, creating opportunities for job training. We're going to be looking to reach out to some of the coffee shops in town to use it as a way to train baristas to get them out into the community and jobs. So those are just some of the ways that we're thinking about continuing to work with Near West Side. Bob's vision, the reason that he put WCNY into the community here was to create a literacy, an arts, and a technology corridor. And with what Syracuse University has done here at the warehouse and with what we see now starting to expand down through the neighborhood, we are so excited and privileged to be part of this growth and can't wait to do more with Near West Side.
I was just curious about the relationship of the local stations with PBS, what opportunities they give you to do things in the community, and also are there any changes in the wind at PBS, especially in terms of funding, that are either good news, bad news stories that we should be aware of?
Well, I think the good news is in terms of funding, the state and many of our legislators have been great supporters of PBS and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I was with some of our New York colleagues and other member stations of PBS in Washington, D.C. A couple of months ago during the budget season, and we went around and met with our legislatures, with CATCO's office, with Senator Schumer's office, and with Senator Gillibrand's office, all of whom are big supporters. And Susan Collins from Maine, Susan Collins, gave a talk to the PBS meeting while we were there in the Capitol. And she's a nice vote to have in your corner. And she is a huge fan of PBS, as she explained it, because she loves high school basketball. And Maine PBS telecast the high school basketball tournament. So as long as Maine PBS is still providing high school basketball and Susan Collins, the swing vote on the Supreme Court choices, is in our corner, I think our funding is going to be steady moving forward. So so that's a good story. And then the state and the federal government also provide grants and funding for our educational programs. The Ready to Learn program has a lot of support. The governor and the legislature here in New York have moderately increased some of their funding this year for PBS, and you know, we'll get a small piece of that and we'll put it to good work. That being said, one of the things that attracted me here is the entrepreneurial spirit and innovative nature that WCNY has. So we're continually looking for new talent, for new businesses, for partnerships that we can do to create additional revenue streams outside of government funding, outside of membership and underwriting, like the Joint Master Control Operation and others that will support and sustain our mission moving forward.
Good morning. Jason Allers back here in the corner.
Hey, Jason.
Being with us today. So many things to be grateful for and thankful for with WCNY, and from the Whitney kids and watching my children grow up, watching your shows to 91.3 and this classic FM. And I just picked up a couple of tickets for the Strings concert in your
21st, yeah,
the 21st of June. So if your members out there, there's free tickets available to you for the String Concerto. But more importantly, the building here on the Near West Side has just been transformative in this whole area, and I'm sure everybody here appreciates it. I pass it several times a day as I commute from my house in Strathmore to downtown and back again, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. But another classic that I don't want to miss up on the opportunity to talk about is Telok. And Telok, I think, starts tonight. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm a junkie for this show. And I bid high and I bid often, and I still am not winning bids. And I don't know if I need to bid higher and more often, but what's the secret to winning a Telok bid, please?
Jason, we are a nonprofit public media company, but six nights a year on Telok, money talks. There's some great stuff. If anybody's interested, I was in the storage room. Thank you to any of you and your companies and organizations who have contributed goods and services to Telok. There are weed eaters, there are grills, there are wine baskets. There is an absolutely adorable little stuffed elephant that's available and will be up for auction starting tonight for three nights this week, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday next week. So thank you. Thank you, Jay.
You know, you've got me thinking here with your talking. You were talking about celebrating successes and that sort of thing, and maybe getting that out to the community and that sort of thing. One of the greatest successes, I think, that's happened in the first quarter of the century is Onondaga Lake. Onondaga Lake, people will say, okay, you know, we've got it cleaned up. But the story of how that happened is unbelievable. Right from the beginning of Honeywell and Allied Chemical merging, and then going from a litigative mindset to a mindset of cooperation and cleaning up and taking responsibility. And then the role that various organizations have played in this community to make that happen. The co-sponsor here is Focus. Focus had a tremendous role at the ground level in getting out to the community to find out what people wanted to do with that lake and that sort of thing. That kind of a success story, along with the other organizations that were involved, would be, I think, something that WCNY should look into.
Well, Bill, thank you. I love that story. And the success of cleaning up Onondaga Lake, the rest of the gorgeous lakes in our 19 counties that thrive and create the incredible tourism industry that comes here are incredible, incredible stories. That's something that, you know, that Taking Flight series tells our story, but the lakes and the work that's being done here on Onondaga Lake, that's also a big part of the story, and we should tell that as well. Thank you, Bill. That's a great suggestion.
There is a marvelous story about the of democracy at work that's going on here in Syracuse. It has been going on for the last number of years, probably 5+ years. That story ties also in with the marvelous story that we have about the growth and the potential of the drone program that is nationwide, but it's starting here in Syracuse. The democratic piece of this is that the protesters at the airport are showing one aspect of their of what we want in our living in Syracuse and the United States, and that is protesting the use of drones in a military way in Yemen and all over the world. And also the fact that there has not been one incident of violence that has gone on. People have spent time in jail, but they've done it following a democratic process. There's a story there. You can do it.
As I said, we're going to do 13 parts in this series on unmanned aerial systems. And there are so many layers to this story that the points that you talk are a critical piece of it. This is not just a local story. This is a national, this is a global story. This is changing the way all of our lives operate, from retail, through entertainment, through competitive racing, film and you know, and services, and of course the military story. And there are real questions about unmanned military technology and how that is going to change the way we fight, how decisions are made in the air and on the ground during conflict. So this is an absolutely key part of the story, and we want to represent all perspectives. So please, let's make sure we get your name and information so that we can incorporate that into taking flight.
Mitch, thank you very much for the inspiring talk, and welcome again to the community. You mentioned that you have some great facilities there, and a number of us have probably been on tour and seen your wonderful facilities you have for teaching children, particularly K through 12. And I was wondering, have you had a chance to speak with the people at Fowler Public Service Leadership Academy? I think a number of us here are on the advisory board for the different programs that they have at the school. I was there yesterday for the geospatial technology board, and they teach drones there. They have incredible facilities because they've gotten grants, and then they also have the traditional programs, and kids from all over Syracuse go there, and they have to compete for some of the programs, but we're trying to publicize more of the high-tech programs.
Wonderful.
So it seems like a really good, I'm wondering, have you reached out to them, and have you talked with them to try to partner, and also to get more students going through and really utilizing your facility?
Yeah, no, great point. I look forward to learning more about it. I know that at the CTE program yesterday, the kids were going off to a skills challenge last night. They were coming out of their little, you know, 11th, 12th graders, you know, doing college literature. They were reading Tennessee Williams' The Glass Menagerie and working on some of the technology and design yesterday. And then a few of them were going off, taking their photography and their technology learning to participate in a skills competition. So we definitely want to make sure that we're linked with Fowler and the other program. Thank you.
One last plug. I don't know who Susan Orbiter actually works for, but I would hope you do everything to keep her in play. She's remarkable in handling how people talk amongst themselves. I think it's Monday on the I-81. The announcement had been made, but I think the program was recorded the week before, and there were four people clearly of separate minds. Her skill of being able to command the conversation was just delightful to watch. So I'm not sure what WCNY's role is, who she's the employee of. She's on a number of stations. But she does remarkable work.
Isn't she good? Isn't she good? Susan Orbiter, absolutely, absolutely remarkable. A unique ability, I think, to frame an issue and to take a complex subject and differing opinions and have people step back and put the facts in front of them. That is exactly the type of fact-based reporting, storytelling that I'm hopeful we will see more of at WCNY in the years ahead. I'd love to come back, perhaps, you know, a year from now and talk more about what we're thinking about, and by that time, hopefully, we'll have done to be more of a facilitator and a connector for the news and arts coverage in the region. And we're absolutely committed to have Susan be a big part of what it is that we're going to do in news, civic, and arts coverage moving forward. She is a wonderful talent. I couldn't agree with you more. So thank you all for coming out today.